الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا بني آدم قد أنزلنا عليكم لباسا يواري سوآتكم وريشا ولباس التقوى ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يذكرون. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this wonderful auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this wonderful day every single week. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his great favor and ni'mah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. May Allah grant us the ability to send abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the ability to use this day to our benefit and to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and sustainer of every single thing in this world. Everything that we see is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in such a way that its perfection lies in a state when it is fully clothed. As long as it is fully clothed, that's when it is in its absolute perfection. A simple example, if we look at a tree that's bearing fruit and it's full of leaves, then that is the perfection of the tree. That is when it will look at its best. When the season comes in, that tree now sheds all its leaves and it's bare and it's dry and it has absolutely no covering, then that is not the perfection of that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that is a time where we will not even take a second glance at that tree. We will count it as a deficiency that now this thing is not in its perfect state, there's something not ripe, its natural true beauty can never be seen. But the moment it's fully clothed, that's when we will see its true beauty. As long as it's covered appropriately, then we'll say that tree looks so beautiful, that flower looks so beautiful. When we look at the animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created them with a natural covering. So long as that covering is on that animal, we will look at the beauty of the animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. If that animal, it's for some reason or the other, its skin has to be shed, nobody will look at the beauty of that animal anymore. It will no more be in its perfect state. So the perfection in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is when it is fully clothed, when it is covered appropriately, that is when its true perfection is there. But when it came to insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and every single human being came into this world with no clothes. He was born naked. But it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine system that Allah gave man the ability to cover himself. We are not like trees that we grow leaves and our bodies are covered. Neither are we like the animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created with a natural covering that's consistent throughout its life. But Allah gave man the ability to now cover himself. That is the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And it's Allah's divine system that the moment that child is born, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made arrangements that that baby is covered. When a baby is born in hospital, most of us who have witnessed it will know firsthand that the moment that baby comes out, what is the first thing that happens? That baby is covered. Nobody says, okay, it's born naked, let's leave him with no clothes. But the moment that child comes out from the womb of the mother, immediately that child is covered. The hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّكُمْ عَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُهُ. Every single human being is naked except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clothed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَكْسُونِي. Seek your clothing from me. أَكْسُكُمْ. I will clothe you appropriately. That is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we enjoy wardrobes and multitudes of clothes, there are many people in this world who have absolutely nothing to wear. They are naked not for the reason that they want to expose themselves, simply because of the fact that they have absolutely nothing to cover themselves with. Now the issue of dressing and the issue of clothing, many a times people think this is something very small, this is something very light. Sometimes people say, you know, let's talk about more important things in life. These are small, petty issues, leave them alone. Who are we to define what is big and what is small? Let us look at the Quran, let us look at the teachings of our deen, and let our deen define what is big and what is small, what is important and what is not. Clothing is such an important issue in our deen that if we open every book of hadith, we will find an entire chapter dedicated to the dressing of man. Kitabul Libas. Every chapter. Now if it's something small, why is it spoken about? In the Quran itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about our clothing. The verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, O the children of Adam, Qad anzalna alaykum libasa. We have sent down clothing upon you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines what is the primary object of your clothes. What is it supposed to do to a human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yuwari sawatikum. The first and foremost thing that your clothes supposed to do is it's supposed to appropriately cover your body. Allah has given you clothes not just for you to adorn yourself and for you to look beautiful, but that clothes has to cover that body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Your aura has to be covered. And today with the many, many challenges that we are facing in society, there's one very great challenge that we're facing, but many people seem to take it very lightly and many people seem to be turning a blind eye, and that is modesty in dressing. Modesty is something that is so important in the life of a Muslim. Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. The words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, modesty is a part of your deen, it's a part of your iman. And the grave warning for the absence of modesty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتْ. That when you lose your modesty, then you will do as you please. When you lose your modesty, you will have no compass and goal in life. When you lose your modesty, you will have no focus in life. When you lose your modesty, you will have no respect left in life. It's a very, very important and integral part of our deen. And today, inshallah, we want to try and touch on modesty in dressing. Because really, when we look at what's happening around, take a look at 15 or 20 years ago, take a look at 30 years ago, the dressing of mankind, the dressing of men, the dressing of women, and look at it today, and there's a world of difference between the two. It's absolutely scary to think what the future will hold. If this is the current situation we're facing right now, and there's no stop to put to this, or there's no education with regards to this, or there's nobody that's prepared to wake up and address the issue, what's going to happen 10 years down the line? Today we have our young daughters, our infant children, 2 years and 3 years old. What's going to happen when they reach their teens? How will they be dressing if the society is dressing how it is today? You know, somebody said it, it's so sad. Sometimes it's difficult for us to mention these words, but this is the words of a non-Muslim with regards to the current dressing in society, especially with regards to women folk. He said how sad and how challenging the time has come that today the dressing of a woman is likened to the fencing of a zoo or a theme park. And then he further explains, he says, why I'm saying this is because if you look at a zoo, the fence covers the perimeter or the boundary, but it doesn't obstruct your view. Now how sad it is, it's something so flimsy, something so thin and something so immodest that a non-Muslim is even addressing this. When we look at the various indecent acts that are carried out across the globe, and you read the articles, you read the comments on these articles, then non-Muslims are crying out that where is modesty in society? Where is modesty? When a non-Muslim is asking for modesty, then al-haya wa shu'batun min al-iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, modesty is part of the iman of a believer. So we are sitting with modesty. It's as if the example can be likened to the whole of mankind is dying of thirst. They are crying out for water. They are desperate for even a sip of water to assist them. They are dying of thirst. We as Muslims, we sit in with oceans and reservoirs of that water. But we ourselves are not taking that water, neither are we giving it to mankind. Can there be a greater injustice than this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with our deen, first and foremost for it to benefit us. But today, unfortunately, this immodesty with regards to dressing has crept so vastly in our Muslim society. When we look around us, the dressing of our mothers, the dressing of our daughters, the dressing of our young boys, this is a very, very serious issue. Every intelligent person will come to the conclusion that your dressing tells a portion of your character. It's not guaranteed that that's exactly what's in your heart, because many a times you always hear the statement and the comment from a person who's not really dressed appropriately, that no, don't judge me by my dressing, my heart is clean. Definitely that our hearts are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. Who's good and who's not, we'll never ever know. Sometimes a person might be clothed with the clothing of the pious and the righteous, the clothing of taqwa, but that person might not be living up to his dressing. That's 100% fact. To our hearts, we only leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge who's good and who's not. Allah says, "Huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa." Allah knows who's good and who's not. We don't know, we're not here to judge that. But your dressing tells a lot about what type of a person you are. To a certain extent, it exposes a portion of your character and a portion of your personal self, irrespective of how much we may deny it. So if a person's dressing is immodest, and if a person's dressing is against the teachings of our deen, that also speaks a little bit about that person's character. You can't say that I'm dressed in this manner, but no, you don't know what's in my heart. As we mentioned, and we'll repeat the statement, nobody knows what's in anybody's heart. And a person put it very beautifully, and he said, know first who you are, then dress yourself accordingly. Know first who you are, then dress yourself accordingly. So who are we? We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with iman. We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with this beautiful deen. We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering with mercy on a daily basis. We are the ones who have been blessed with so many ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it's impossible for us to count. Who are we? We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the custodians of this deen. Who are we? We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this world for a temporary and short period for us to make effort to secure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are we? We are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Jannah for. Who are we? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the beacons of light for humanity. So know first who you are, then dress yourself accordingly. So if this is your status and this is who you are, then how are you supposed to be dressing? Definitely you're supposed to be dressing according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to dress. So coming back to what we were speaking about, the verse of the Quran, Allah says, we have sent down clothing to you, liwari sawatikum, and that clothing has to appropriately cover your body. The ulama from this verse of the Quran, they mention four important rules with regards to dressing. And these are four things that we should always take note of. Number one, your clothing has to appropriately cover your body. Now how often it is a person is wearing clothes and he thinks that he is clothed, but he is not really clothed according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he makes mentioning of a group of people that will come prior to Qiyamah. And with specific reference, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there will be a group of women in my ummah which I have not seen. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that hunnak ariyatin kasiyat. They will be naked, yet they will be clothed. This is the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will have clothes on, but they will be counted as naked and nude in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the commentators of hadith mention that it is either that they wear clothes which are see-through, or they wear clothes that are so tight and they reveal the shape of the body, so therefore they are counted as naked in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look around us and we will see that these are major issues that we are dealing with in society. How many a woman is walking thinking that she is clothed, but it's a different story in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a woman is going and purchasing clothes to adorn herself and to cover her body, but it's not really covering much in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The exact words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will have clothes on, but they will be naked in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one is we have a problem with immodest dressing in general in society, but now there's another problem that we're facing as an ummah in the so-called Islamic dressing itself. Here again the same problem is coming. So once upon a time a woman donned the Islamic garb or the Islamic mode of dressing simply for the fact that she wanted to cover her body appropriately. But today that same dressing is now turned into such a thing that itself has become tight-fitting or figure-hugging. So even in the Islamic garb itself, now there's another problem that we're facing. A woman's body has to be covered in such a way that an onlooker does not see the exact shape of that woman. That is when she is clothed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to the men folk, there's another problem that we're facing. With regards to our youngsters, I often tell the students in class that if we had to wear what you all wore when we were young, we would have been a laughing stock in society. There would have not been a single boy except that he would have laughed at us at the way we were dressing. And when we study fashion and we look at the aim and object of the West, then it's very very simple, we can sum it up by saying the aim and object of the West with regards to clothing of humanity is that they aim to feminize the dressing of men. Listen carefully to what I'm saying and then really go study fashion and you will see it. Look what a man wore 20 or 30 years ago. Look how he wore his clothes. Look at the sizes that he wore then and look at what's happening now. People sometimes give the excuse, they say, no, you know the China clothes is small because the people are built small there. So therefore all the garments come in small sizes. That's a very, very flimsy excuse that we use. But anyway, the aim and object of the West is they want to feminize the dressing of men. If we look currently, the way many a youngster is dressed and the way the fashion for the youth has been designed, it's probably very similar to what females wore 20 or 30 years ago. Tight fitting, figure hugging pants. So the aim is to feminize the dressing of men. And with regards to women, the aim and object of the West is to minimize the dressing of women. So we will make an excuse that outwardly, if just for word's sake, they will term themselves as clothed, but there'll be nothing much that will be covered on their body. The clothes will become shorter, the clothes will become more tighter, the clothes will become more figure-hugging and more see-through. So the aim is to feminize the dressing of men and the aim is to minimize the dressing of women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the first object of the clothes that I have blessed you with is that it covers your body. Look at the dua you read when you don your clothes. This is a sunnah. Many of us should be reciting the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a person says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, our clothing is not something that's in our control. It's not that we have purchased it and we have covered our bodies. It's a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the dua that you read is, all praise is due to Allah who has clothed me. It might seem that I worked, I earned my money, I bought my clothes, but Allah has blessed you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that wealth so that you may clothe your body. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has clothed me in such a way, ma awari bihi awrati. Such clothing that covers my body appropriately, that covers my aura. Now sometimes a person might be even reading the dua, but it's a different story in reality. He's saying all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has clothed me, but you're not really clothed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first object, that your clothes have to cover your body appropriately. The second thing that the ulama speak about with regards to our clothing is warisha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says your clothing should also be a form of adornment and beauty for you. It should be a means of you beautifying yourself. A man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, a person loves rajulun yuhibbu ayyakuna thawb حسنه ونعله حسنه. A man loves to wear good clothes, he loves to wear good shoes. What's his position? Is this a sign of pride in a person? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is no pride. Inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, he loves beauty. So for you to wear the best, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, provided your clothing fulfills the injunctions and the requirements of your deen. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Your clothes should be a form of adornment. But here again, when it comes to our women folk, remember the object of a woman clothing herself in Islam, especially when she goes out of her house, is for her not to be an object of catching somebody's gaze. A woman, when she leaves her house, she's not supposed to be an object of adornment. She's not supposed to beautify herself then. A woman is supposed to beautify herself in the confines of her home. A woman is supposed to beautify herself for her spouse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her with. A woman can dress how she wants in her home, but the moment she steps out of her home, the object of her clothing is supposed to be a concealment of her beauty. Now here again, it's the absolute opposite that we see. A woman sometimes dresses herself in a very, very adorning manner when she leaves her home, but in her home it's a different story. Absolute opposite of what our deen is speaking about. Our deen says in your home, dress the best that you possibly want. When you step out of that home, conceal your beauty. That is how a woman's supposed to be dressed. And today it's the exact opposite in society that we see. So the second object is that our clothes are supposed to be a form of beautification. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this. And the third point that the ulama mentioned with regards to our dressing is, your dressing is not supposed to have any distinct resemblance to any other cult or any other creed. You're not supposed to have any distinct resemblance, especially to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the other traits, to the other deens or religions that are prevalent in the world. Your dressing cannot have a distinct resemblance to them, because there the warning of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, man tashabbaha biqawmin fa فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a nation, you want to look like them, Allah save you, you might be raised with them on the day of Qiyamah. That's a very, very important thing we need to think about. Now, we're not saying that we're against sport and we're against our youngsters being active and all that, but it's something and it's food for thought when that youngster dons that t-shirt of that soccer star and that soccer player. If that's who you really love and you're so proud to wear him on your back, there's a great fear when you look at this hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّ الْقَوْمِ وَلَمْ يَلْحَقْ بِهِمْ. A man loves a nation, his heart is with them, his soul is with them, but he can't make it to be with them. But day and night his heart and his mind is only with them. What is the position of this individual? His actions fall short, he can't be with them. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمَرْءُ مَا مَنْ أَحَبَّ. A man will be with who he truly loves. Who's your idol in society, who's your role model in society? That's who you will be with on the day of Qiyamah. Sahaba loved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba's role model was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will definitely be with the one who you love. Who are our role models in society? With regards to our males, who is our role models? Our role model supposed to be Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Supposed to be Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to our women folk, who their role model supposed to be? The wives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the wives of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the believers, that's supposed to be their role models. We're supposed to look up to them in society. But today, unfortunately, with the various forms of media and the various forms of wrong that we are exposed to, today we become obsessed with different individuals of the world. They cut their hair in a certain way, we need to cut our hair in that way. They wear a certain garment, we need to wear that garment. Who do we really want to look like? Who do we really want to be with on the day of Qiyamah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. And then the fourth point that the ulama mentioned with regards to our clothing is وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. This is part of the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. ذَلِكَ خَيْر. The garments of taqwa, that is the best thing for you as a human being. And here the ulama give various explanations with regards to what is the meaning of لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. What is the meaning of garments of taqwa? There are those who take the literal meaning of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say that لِبَاسُ أَهْلِ التَّقْوَى. The clothing of the people of taqwa, that is the best for every human being. So we look at those who genuinely have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is their mode of dressing? That is what we will follow. And then other commentators of the Quran are of the opinion that libasu taqwa means that a person, like how he covers his outer, his body with the clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with, he's also got to fill his heart with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with good deeds. He adorns his body with the clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. He has to also adorn his heart with good deeds and with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back again to the point that it's not just an outward thing, but rather it's an inward thing as well. Why does Allah, if we take the meaning of the commentators of the Quran, that Allah says that you need to clothe your heart with good deeds, it comes immediately after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about your physical clothing. So that immediately cancels out the notion that a person says, no, I can wear what I want, but it doesn't affect me as a Muslim. Because immediately after Allah speaks about the primary object of your clothing, and then Allah says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى, the garments of taqwa, that is the best for you. And if you take the meaning of the commentators of the Quran, that this means that good deeds need to be a part of a person's life, that shows that both go hand in hand. Definitely your dressing will have an effect on your a'mal. If you are dressed in a good and a positive manner, it's going to bring good deeds in your life. And how often when you look at the current dressing in society, that alone gives you an indication of how much of salah is in the lives of individual. Because many a times a person is dressed in such a way that it's impossible for him to perform salah in that clothing. So just by our dressing alone, you can, to a certain extent, we're not saying it's a general thing, but to a certain extent you can gauge how much of salah is in the lives of individuals. How many a times a woman is dressed in such a way, for the whole day it's impossible for her to perform salah in that manner. So we're not saying she's not performing salah, but it's food for thought. You cannot perform salah dressed in that manner. So your dressing does tell a lot about your character. It tells a certain amount about your iman. It tells a lot about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, we're not making excuses for anybody. Sometimes a person dons really the garments of taqwa, but it's a different story with regards to his a'mal. Both need to go hand in hand. It's a message for him as well. When you're dressed in a certain way, you also got to conduct yourself in that manner. You got to live up to your dressing. How often a human being as an individual in his own capacity, he will falter, but what will be blamed? The clothing. Oh, you saw that man, he got a beard, and you see all these people with the beard, that's what they do. See all these people who wear this type of dressing, that's how they conduct themselves. Don't blame the dressing. Look at the individual. We need to separate the two, but to a certain extent, they both are connected. We need to come back and we need to really address this issue of modesty with regards to dressing. It's a very, very serious issue. It's no small thing. How sad it is that when we look at the past and when we look at our older generations, when we look at our elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower them with mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their graves with nur. But what a wonderful society and what a wonderful time that was, that where when a young girl or a young boy would be dressed inappropriately, immediately the elders of that time would address the issue. They would never ever turn a blind eye to it. If a young girl came without a scarf in front of her grandparents, immediately that grandparent would say, where's your scarf? Cover your hair appropriately. That was our wonderful elders of the past. And how compliant were the youngsters of that generation, that young girl or that young boy, when he would be cautioned by his elders, immediately he would take heed to that caution. Today nobody worries. Today a girl is dressed inappropriately, the elder doesn't say nothing, and sometimes even if the elder says something, the youngsters of today's generation are not like the old generation. There's no compliance like there was before. But what has happened to our elders of today's time? We see it in front of our eyes, but we say nothing about it. We see it in front of our eyes, but we turn a blind eye. It's as if we never see it. And sometimes it's our elders that are encouraging this sort of things. That, no, ma, you know, you need to dress up so everybody can see you. How far we've moved from the ideal teachings of our deen. As elders, it's our duty for us to nurture and guide our young. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to repeat that statement again. The person says, know first who you are, then dress yourself accordingly. And when it comes to following fashions and the trends of society, there the person says, fashion is only for those who have no identity. Fashion is for those who have no identity. Know first who you are, then dress yourself accordingly. Because fashion is for those who have no identity. Do we have no identity? Are we searching for some new identity? Are we searching for peace of mind? Look at any woman who has shunned the immodest dressing of society and come into modest dressing of Islam. Ask that woman how truly liberated she feels in the dressing. Ask her how honored she feels by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask her how wonderful she feels in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's an absolute fact. Look at any individual who's dressed immodestly. You will not find peace and sukoon in that person's life. You will not find contentment in that person's life. Why? Because the moment the next fashion comes out, you're going to run behind that. You're going to be obsessed with the way you look. You're going to be obsessed with what people think of how you look. We have reached such a stage, how many a woman will never wear the same outfit twice in a row? Why? Hey, what everybody is going to say? Who do we dress for in the first place? We're supposed to be dressing for ourselves. We're supposed to be dressing because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consider us as being dressed appropriately. That's why we're dressing. We're dressing to cover our bodies. How many a person dons clothes simply for somebody else to see? But for a woman to don that for her husband to see, there's absolutely nothing wrong. And how often a woman gives the excuse for her immodest dressing, that if I don't dress like this, then my husband is going to look at somebody else. What a false notion. I mean, many a times the woman, even though she's dressing like that, the husband is still looking somewhere else. It never made a difference. He never sought out the problem. But how many a woman genuinely comes up with that excuse that I have to dress in this manner because then my husband is going to look at somebody else? Modesty needs to be part of our iman. Modesty needs to be part of our of males. Modesty is supposed to be part of females. Modesty is supposed to be part of our society. A man is supposed to lower his gaze. A woman is supposed to be dressed appropriately. These are the wonderful teachings of our deen. As I mentioned, the whole of mankind, non-Muslims, are crying out for modesty to come back in society. We Muslims are sitting with it, but we ourselves are not benefiting, and then we're depriving the whole of mankind. We have the recipe for the success of the whole of mankind, but first we need to utilize it ourselves. We need to be convinced of it ourselves. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, an individual came and he was not dressed appropriately. He was wearing a garment which was of a very bright color, something that was more appropriate for women to wear at that time. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just looked at it with a look of disapproval. How close the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Sahaba just looked at the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knew immediately that this is again, my Nabi is not happy with what I'm wearing. It's probably my garments. Immediately he excuses himself from the gathering. The next day he comes in the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, minus that garment which had brought the displeasure of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a wonderful teacher was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greets him, addresses him and says that, oh my Sahabi, where's that garment you were wearing yesterday? He says, oh Nabi of Allah, I saw that garment had brought displeasure to your face. I went home immediately and I burnt that garment. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it was not necessary for you to go to such measures of burning it. You could have given it to somebody else to benefit. You could have given it to the women folk of your household. That sort of color, that sort of garment was more appropriate for a woman to wear. There was no need for you to burn it. Look at the statement of that sahabi. He says, oh my beloved Nabi, I will have nothing to do with anything that brings your displeasure. I will have absolutely nothing to do with anything that brings displeasure to you. I rather not have that in any way near me. I rather not own that article whichever brought displeasure to you. This was one garment. How many a person's wardrobe will bring displeasure to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many a person's entire cupboard is bringing displeasure to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now we're not saying we need to burn our clothes and we need to throw it away, but we need to take stock of ourselves. We need to see, is our dressing fulfilling the injunctions of our deen? Of number one, it needs to cover your body, cover yourself appropriately. Number two, it's also a means of adornment and beauty for you. Number three, it does not have any distinct resemblance to any other cult that is prevalent in the world. And number four, your dressing should be such that it should be garments of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. How beautifully a poet put it, and he said, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يَلْبَسْ ثَوْبًا مِنَ التُّقْوَى. When a person does not don garments out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَقَلَّبَ أُرْيَانًا وَإِنْ كَانَ كَاسِيًا, he will be counted as naked even though he might be clothed. And then the poet further says that وَخَيْرُ لِبَاسِ الْمَرْءِ طَاعَةَ رَبِّهِ, the best garment that a person can have is by him being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ عَاصِيًا, there's no good in an individual who is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. We should also practice upon the sunnahs of dressing. Start from the right when we are donning our clothes, and from the left when we're taking off our clothes. And there are many other sunnats of dressing. We should try and get hold of the kitabs of dressing, see the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, put it into practice in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.